What is up, people? This is episode 219. This is the first ever PC Bombcast special tribute episode, and it's to one of the original inspirations for the show. Back on episode 2, I cited Kevin Smith and Zane Lamprey as being the big reasons I wanted to do this show. I wanted to sit around with friends and interesting people and talk about pop culture and do that while drinking beer and good spirits. And that's kind of where the amalgam of the two came in. One of the big reasons Zane Lamprey was an inspiration is because when my wife and I were still dating and just getting together, we really, really discovered and became big fans of Drinking Made Easy. And we called it Drinking Made Wednesday. Every night we would tune into HDNet, but you'll hear all that in a little bit. So Zane has an upcoming Laughs and Crafts tour that tickets go on sale as you're listening to this, on Wednesday, St. Patrick's Day. And him being a big drinking ambassador to the world, I thought, man, what a good time to do this episode. So that's why it's here. So you're going to hear me kind of repeat this stuff and here in a little bit. You're going to hear me talk about all the things that Zane's done, from adventure to I didn't really hit on his rum that he did, Monkey Rum, which I don't even know if that's still existence. If it is, I really want some of the coconut, but I don't know. So anyway, I'm going to stop stammering. It's me, and it's Bombcast J, and it's talking about Zane Lamprey, and then we get into a bunch of pop culture stuff, all while rating three really good beers that we drink during this episode. But you're going to have to listen to it all, and you can do that after the explosion, which should be about now.
We had that problem when we were doing some of our early Zoom recording.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like it's bad, but I mean, you're opening yourself up to a lot of editing errors and stuff. So, but are you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Well, we're back. This time, we're going to do something. I don't know if it's slightly different, but we're definitely doing what I'm calling our first ever special tribute episode, and I'll get into that more here in a minute. What I wanted to do is lay down a few ground rules in terms of what we're also going to do, because the guest we're going to talk about is the perfect person to like review beer and talk about beer. I've got three individual tall cans of beer in there for us to review. I don't know if you've had all one, two, or three.
Okay.
I mean, I've had two of them now, but it's okay. I didn't talk about them at all.
Yeah.
But I figure through the course of the show, we'll split them. You know, we'll do half and half. And then when we get to the Throw It to Missy segment, obviously there's no Missy here, we'll review those beers.
All right.
So we'll start Throw It to Missy off with the review of the beers.
All right.
That said, it's just me and Jay here today. So say hi to everybody, Jay.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah, you just again, what is it? What's the line? You see those broadcasting schools paying off. But this also happens to be St. Patrick's week. In fact, as this episode is going to be released, it's St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
What better person to pay tribute to on St. Patrick's Day than that of the drinking ambassador to the world? And that is Mr. Zane Lamprey. And for those that don't know, one of the reasons we're even on this podcast today is because I cited Kevin Smith, pretty early Chris Hardwick. I used to be into him. And Zane Lamprey as being big reasons why I wanted to start a podcast. And in fact, back when me and Missy first started dating, was when Zane was really going on HDNet. And we'll talk about that show, Drinking Made Easy, in a little bit. But we used to do what we called Drinking Made Wednesday every night. And we had to get new beer Wednesday or new beer Thursday. And then we had to have a different beer. And we played the drinking game along with Zane.
Yeah.
And it was dominated by Schlafly back then because our options were way more limited than they are now.
Yeah.
But back and knowing that, I've brought him up. I even went in the early beginnings and wanted to like film things and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I would email questions to him because he was a successful podcaster, TV host, YouTube guy.
Yeah.
And he would always answer. Yeah. I think I've emailed him two or three occasions and he's always replied. And one time he replied on air on his own podcast, which is super cool. The other reason why I chose to do this episode of Zane Lamprey, other than kissing his ass a little bit, was because Wednesday His tickets go on sale for the Laughs and Drafts tour.
Okay.
This was a stand-up tour that he's doing at breweries across the country. Now, he went to do it last year. I believe it's 74 dates, but obviously COVID stopped that.
Right.
Where they're going to start it this year, he's going to start in Florida, and he's systematically working his way through the states that are allowing stuff to get to the other states. But he's doing 91 cities this year.
Okay.
So I'm going to buy tickets. I don't know where he's going to have it. They haven't announced it yet. I can only assume... And you can correct me if you think that this is wrong. The Grove Urban Chestnut's got to be the best location, right?
Probably, unless he did something outside at Schlafly and they shut down.
Yeah, well, he's done, and we'll talk about his other Drinking Made Easy tour later when we do the countdown, but he's done like 700, 800 ticket places.
Yeah.
This one they're going to try to keep to around 250 to 300. So a third of what a venue could hold. That's the biggest brewery room.
Right.
Now, the Bottle Works at Schlafly has a great little stage and stuff, but obviously they can't pack. That thing's not that big.
Yeah.
It even has the outdoor at the – but I got to think, though, that of all – well, and even the bottle – or the tap room has that stage now, too, where they remodeled a couple of years ago.
They also have the upstairs, too.
They do have the upstairs. So, yeah, there is – so maybe Schlafly – and he does have a history at Schlafly that we'll talk about later. But so knowing that it's St. Patrick's Day, knowing that he's the drinking ambassador in the world, and we'll get a little more on that in a second, and knowing that his tickets for his tour goes on, I thought, man, what better way than to do this? Now, you said you don't know as much about him as I do. Obviously, I'm a huge fan. I've backed all of his Kickstarter stuff and everything. But – I thought it was kind of funny when you said you didn't know anything about him or much about him, so you were going to do research. For those that do know anything about Zane Lamprey, his partner Steve McKenna, who's his stunt drinker and best friend, usually offers nothing but like weird, dumb comments. I'm like, well, the less you know, maybe the more this fits the theme that you're Steve McKenna on this episode of it. But as I want to start, what I'm going to do to tell people about who Zane is a little bit, and then. You know, by all means, I'm going to let you talk, I promise. Okay. But while I do that, if you want to go and see the three beers I've got selected in there, and you'll notice them, and we'll just, you know, we'll pick out which one you want, remember your review, and we'll talk. Do it later. It will be the top three that's grouped together on the top shelf. So, so what does it mean, I said, when, you know, who is Zane? Why did I call him the drinking ambassador of the world? Well, Zane's an actor, host, writer, producer, editor, comedian, clothing line creator, also a very successful Kickstarter. And the drinking thing, actually, if I remember correctly, is something I think Playboy dubbed him because of when he was at the peak of his TV success. I could be wrong there. Hopefully he listens to this and he corrects us. But he's been a part of some of the best, if not the best, drinking shows, I think, and travel show combo shows in the history of TV. Started with Three Sheets on Mojo. For me, I first saw Three Sheets on the USA Network in reruns. Then Drinking Made Easy, which is actually where I discovered him. Then he did a Kickstarter, and later on Nat Geo, he did a show called Chug. And then he had a show on Drink TV, which is now a defunct station, and it was called Four Sheets. Like I said, the Flop and I became super fans on DME. We used to do the Drink It Made Wednesday every week. And then I became such a fan, so much so that I've almost kickstarted every project he's done, dating back to the original drinking jacket, now the adventure jacket, the adventure backpack, and I got the deluxe version. I think I missed one jacket in there, and I also kickstarted Chug and got an autographed copy of the Blu-ray for the series. So I... Oh, and for those that don't know, you can go to adventure.com. The first E is a three, and that three represents anytime you buy a product, they plant three trees. Oh, nice. So he's super big into the environment and just an all-around good dude. So knowing all that, what I wanted to do, and I wanted to go over it with you, and I want to be clear. This is the top 10 list of the best of Zane as told by me, from my opinion, the why I liked him.
Okay.
And there's some other people that may say there's other shows and like he's done better on certain things, but this is what I consider. Call this the 10 things that made me fall in love with the character and the host, Zane Lamprey, in a non-homo way, if that makes any sense. Or in a homo way, I don't mind. But before we do that, I think we should, we'll talk about this at the end, but you cracked open something I've been waiting for a long time.
Yeah.
This would be Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA from El Segundo Brewing Company. So we'll get back to our review at the end, but I feel like we should cheers and take a drink and see where we go from here. Now, before we get started, on my list, I do have to ask you, what if any has experience? Did you ever watch any of the shows?
No. For a long time, we haven't had anything. So we like never had HDNet or any of the any of the platforms he was on.
And this was a while back. He hasn't been on TV in a while. So now you did listen to his podcast, though, right?
No.
No, you didn't.
Nope.
Okay. I can't remember. Someone that I know reached out to me, and I swear it was someone that I knew through, it might have been, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, and I hope he still listens to the show, but I'm friends with him on Untappd and on Facebook, and we've even tried to have some beer swaps unsuccessfully over the years, over the year or two. I think he heard him read my, and he brought it up at the beer sauce after it had opened. He was like, hey, that's your show he read about. And I was like, yeah, it was. So that's pretty cool. But
yeah.
So let's get into the top 10 best moments of Zane Lamprey, as told from my point of view. Number 10, and this is going to be the least I talk about of all the stuff on here, Three Sheets to Jamaica. There's one reason this episode makes a list, and you won't find out what that is until number two.
Okay.
Just know it was a great episode. And you know what every show's about, right?
Yeah.
He goes to I guess we should say Three Sheets was around the world. He would go to different countries and dive into what part of the drinking culture in those countries. Yeah. And then on Drinking Made Easy, it was just United States. And there's a lot of people that Three Sheets was the mecca of his stuff. For me, Drinking Made Easy was it. And I think maybe it had a couple of things to do with it. One, it was places that I could go, realistically.
Right.
And two, it was where I discovered him.
Right.
And I think my number nine one is one of the best examples of that, Drinking Made Easy Chicago. The reason this is on my list, now it clocks in at 9, this was the first episode that I used as a blueprint for a trip to a city.
Okay.
So me and Missy went to the city, and we hit every spot that we could that he hit on the show.
Okay. So is it just like is breweries or distilleries or just everything?
So the first thing we did was the Tavern at the Park, or the Park Tavern.
Okay.
And he went, and they did the $200 Cloudgate Martini. Now, that martini has, I can't remember, I think it's comes with a Tiffany bracelet or something. It's something crazy.
Yeah.
I did not have that.
You didn't want the Tiffany bracelet?
I did not want the $200 tab for one drink. But I did do one of their normal martinis, and I'm not a martini guy by any means. But I enjoyed the shit out of it because, again, it was a place. And I can't remember the owner of the Park Tavern, but he's maintained friends with him, and he's popped up on his podcast and stuff through the years. But the next place we went to was the Green Door Tavern. And that was one of my favorite because the Green Door Tavern is the oldest bar in Chicago.
Okay.
It survived Prohibition and the fire.
Yeah.
And it's kind of unique because if you were to back your chair, and I did this on purpose. I don't know if – I think his show told me. But I backed my chair up to a wall and sat straight up.
Yeah.
And the wall bends away from you because it's an old wooden structure and it's racked. And they've just never fixed it because they can't fix it. So,
right.
And it's structurally sound, but it's just slightly tilted the entirety of the place. I did not have – I did their Old Forester Old Fashioned, and it was an Old Fashioned that they used with a bourbon from Chicago and just a good drink. They also had like – what's the Old Style on tap is on tap. And they had a lot of drinks, mixed drinks with Old Style, like car bombs and stuff.
Interesting.
Listen, Old Style is an awful beer.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm happy those Chicagoans are proud of it.
Yeah.
It's like R Stag's, which is made in Belleville, Illinois, or near Belleville, Illinois. Just an awful beer.
Yep.
But so we did those two places that we actually did a couple. We went by the other ones, but they weren't open when we tried to go in. But in Chicago, we went to a lot of bars.
Yeah.
The number eight, though, kind of keeping with the same reason, I put Drinking Made Easy Kansas City.
Okay.
Because now I lived in Kansas City, and most of the stuff had to do with before I started the show, watching the show. But as I was watching the show, what made me love that episode was like, oh, that was my hangout. And in particular, the Buzzard Beach, which is where me and my buddy Hal Pal, we hung out there way more times a week than we should have.
Yeah.
So much so. And the reason we picked it is because they were the only bar that had Newcastle on tap.
Okay.
That was a big deal back then.
Oh, yeah.
What sucked is we later found out over the course of a year that we were the only ones drinking that Newcastle.
So it's probably the same keg.
It was exactly the same keg because when it blew, they go, "Oh, that keg finally blew." And we're like, "Oh, no." And they're like, "You're going to replace it?" They're like, "No, we've been waiting for that thing to blow for 9 months." And I'm like, "Fuck, we're the only ones that's been drinking it for 9 months." Now, they did do, there is a drink there called the Bergen Malt. I did not have it.
Yeah.
I think it just looked gross when and it was before I even knew about it. The other place he went though was Kelly's Westport, which is Kelly's is one of the oldest bars in Missouri.
Yeah.
And also open at 6 a.m. on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, nice.
I've been there from 6 a.m. to 3 a.m. in one day on a St. Patrick's Day, which was a train wreck.
I could imagine.
When we're not on air, for fear of any female that may overly judge me about that St. Patrick's Day, I'll tell you an interesting story off of that.
All right.
It definitely would, I could be Me Too'd for it. and then there was a bar called the Velvet Dog, which I'm positive, I've been to the Velvet Dog many a times. Mm-hmm. I'm positive it's post Zane Lamprey, or Drinking Made Easy.
Yeah.
During a comic convention, I'm fairly certain. This is where my buddy Big D slapped a guy twice.
Yeah.
The first time, because the guy asked him to hit him, so he did. It was a drunk guy, frat boy, like, "Hey, motherfucker."
Yeah.
He goes, "Hey, why don't you slap me?" So Dwayne did. And then he got mad about it, so Dwayne slapped him again. And it was, my buddy Hal Powell and Hikus were sitting in the booth, and we watched the whole thing go down. They're like, "Oh, shit, what do we do?" Like, I don't know. So I stood up. I just moved closer to the bar. My plan was when they started fighting, they did not know that he was with a group of guys.
Yeah.
And I was going to go in there swinging. Like I told who is it? Tater Salad.
Ron White.
Ron White. I didn't know how many of them it was going to take to beat me up, but I knew how many there were going to try it.
Yeah.
So, because I told my buddy, I said, I'll get the first two or three. I promise.
Yeah.
First two or three, I could take them out by element of surprise. You guys better come in strong after that.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was like 12 of these dudes.
Oh.
Yeah. But it was hilarious. Yeah. So we loved that place. Number seven, I'm going to drop down to, oh, by the way, Kelly's Pizza, or the bar, the pizza place right next door to Kelly's.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of akin to ITAP Soulard and New York Pizza right beside it.
Yeah.
Except in Kelly's, they actually share a window. I can't think of the name of the pizza place. Man, many a nights. I mean, Dwayne has in times been passed out with his face dead on the wall, trying to find the right angle without moving to shove the pizza into his mouth.
That's great.
It was a problem. Kelly, yeah. Westport and Kansas City was a problem when I was a single guy and lived there.
I could imagine.
Number seven, Three Sheets Kentucky. The main reason this one pops up on the list, well, one, I've always wanted to do the Bourbon Belt.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go do a tour. One day I will. But the main reason is up until this point, and I believe this was the finale of season one of Three Sheets, he had just told stories about his buddy Steve.
Yeah.
And showed up, and every time he mentioned him, it was a drinking game. Steve's little picture would pop up, and you'd have to take a drink.
Okay.
Well, this was the first episode that Steve actually accompanied him on it. And so it was so popular that the producers and stuff the next day said, "You got to bring him back every chance you get."
Yeah.
So
if he went off camera and came back on, did you have to take a drink?
Well, when he was on the episode, no. Because at that point, he went from being just the legend of Steve to actually a real person. But later on, and even when this show started, we had a drinking game, and I patterned it after, Drinking Made Easy and Three Sheets and Chug and all that. Which brings me to number six, which is Chug, Kuala Lumpur. By no means Chug was very good. I enjoyed it.
Mm.
It wasn't to me as strong as DME or Three Sheets. But what I loved about it, this was the very first episode of it. I loved kind of what it represented. It was the first time I ever kickstarted a TV or a movie or anything of that. I've since done a couple of movies. One I should be getting access to anytime, which, just so people know the extent of my nerddom, it's The Dreams in Gary Gygax's Basement. It's the true story as told by his friends and family of how D&D was started.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
COVID slowed it down.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that was cool about this is I got to hear about it because I was listening to his podcast at the time with Mel, the producer, and his wife, Josh, sound guy Chad, or Tad when he's been drinking too much. They call him Tad.
Yeah.
They were all on it together, and they did this with him. And I got a signed copy of it because I backed it. So I kind of loved that.
Yeah.
Number five, Three Sheets Ireland. I mean, fuck, dude, it's Ireland.
Yeah.
It was the first time in my entire life I actually saw how to pour the perfect Guinness pint.
Yeah.
That's a fucking hard thing to do.
It is.
It's like there's like specific, and it's not like wait 2 seconds. It's like wait 1.8 seconds. Like yeah. You got to, I mean, and they like stopwatch it to make sure people are doing it right. But I don't know that there's any better looking beer than a perfectly poured glass of Guinness.
No, I'd agree.
It's to this day, you know, there was a time where Guinness was my go-to. I think that peaked one time around McGurk's in O'Fallon.
Yeah.
My buddy Rusty's birthday. I got overserved, which is, you know, every drunk guy's way of saying I couldn't hold my liquor that night.
Yeah.
And I puked all over myself and the table. Ooh. And, just the bad. And this wasn't like, Jeremy, how old were you? Were you 20? No, this was like 34. This was a problem.
Yeah.
And I haven't really drank much Guinness since that day.
Yeah, that'll do it to you.
Yeah, there's no good. Guinness, way better looking going down.
Yeah.
That frothy foam, I could not manage to puke that little logo into the puddle. the other thing too, one interesting notes about Three Sheets. It was the first episode they ever did. So kind of one reason it's high on my list is you can tell that he's winging it. And I mean that in the good way, because it's really raw and it's before he found his footing. And it makes for a great show, especially once you see the evolution of all of them.
Right.
With number four, this is probably one of my favorite stories other than the Jamaica one, is this was the Drinking Made Easy Ultra Premium Imperial Reserve Platinum Especial. This was his first real special. Mm-hmm. The reason this makes my list is there's this awesome moment, because at this point when Drinking Made Easy happened, and there was something that happened, and we'll talk about it more when we get to St. Louis, but Steve became a regular. He was a regular stunt drinker, good friend, and was on every episode with him. And they would always do these six-pack challenge. They would do different events like home run derby,
yeah,
you know, things like that. And the loser had to pay the winner six packs.
Yeah.
Well, by the end, after season two, I think in season three, it turned into just a 6-pack challenge. But this this episode, they met Tina Sinatra, Frank Sinatra's daughter.
Yeah.
And they met her at their Frank's favorite restaurant in L.A. and with a waiter who was a part of a really famous Sinatra story. And that story was, Sinatra hung out one night and got so shit-faced drunk, he couldn't drive, so he made the waiter drive him home.
Yeah.
And when he got there, he said, "Thanks for the ride, buddy. The car's yours." And he threw him the key.
Whoa.
And the waiter wouldn't take it because he was a regular. He said, "I can't do that." But yeah, it's a really cool Sinatra story.
Yeah.
So in the middle of them telling the story, and they actually had the waiter there, Steve, they pour this bottle of wine, nice bottle of wine, and Steve chugs it instead of sipping it. And then he fills his up and immediately thought that everyone else needed to fill it up, which no one did.
Right.
And as Zane's trying to interview him, you could tell Steve's uncomfortably interrupting the interview.
Yeah.
When he goes to set the bottle down, he spills it all over the table, kind of on the waiter. And Zane goes, "Well, I guess that's the end of our interview."
Like, yeah,
it was the most uncomfortable interview. And it's, when he tells the story on his podcast, I think he told it in the last few weeks or a few months, it's hilarious.
Okay.
Because, what you didn't see is before that, Steve chugged a pint of Jack Daniels.
Oof.
I don't know how he's still alive.
Yeah.
And the thing about Steve, too, you have to understand, too, is he's sober now.
Yeah.
And successful. He's a contractor in Park City, Utah,
okay,
and skis all day, and his wife's a successful CEO or founder of a company.
Yeah.
He's actually a successful guy. He was also a bit of a backup actor. He was a extra in Lincoln.
Okay.
Oliver Stone's Lincoln. Yeah. But, I mean, but a pint of fucking Jack Daniels.
That's unreal.
I mean, can you chug a pint of anything at this point in your life? A Bud Light, maybe?
Maybe. I'd feel dirty doing it, but...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I in my old age, I was sitting down here this morning, doing some stuff, paying some membership dues for work, and I burped acid reflux so bad I almost threw up and had to run upstairs. I mean, it took me out of commission for an hour.
Yeah.
I was drinking water, eating Tums, and Missy's like, what's wrong with you? I go, I'm fucking old.
Yeah.
Like, it's taking me down, man. Number three, Four Sheets, Cusco. C-U-S-C-O, that's how you spell that, right?
I think so.
Cusco. The reason I put this on here, because not just a return to Zane on TV, but it was really the spiritual successor to Three Sheets. It was really what he liked about Three Sheets, but he got to do it himself. He got to do it the way he wanted to. He partnered up with Drink TV, which is failed network, which, by the way, Mojo Network failed. HDNet changed to Axis, changed their format with him on it. Drink TV failed. Zane needs to stop going on TV.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Thank God Nat Geo survived somehow.
Yeah.
They didn't give him a second season. And I mean that as a joke because everything he's done, I loved. And so this one on the Four Sheets, I believe you can find Four Sheets you can still find on drinktv.com. And I think you have to, there's a paywall to find them. There might not be. I've watched them and I paid originally to watch them.
Yeah.
I think you can find Three Sheets on YouTube. And someone, they are in Amazon, but I did find episodes on Amazon, and you can still go to hdnet.com and just watch all of Drinking Made Easier for free. Nice. And it holds up, because as I was kind of trying to pick my favorite things,
yeah,
I was watching again. I mean, there's some things, especially like in St. Louis, we'll talk about that aren't around anymore.
Right.
But it holds up pretty good. It's, if you're a drinking guy and you've got time on your hands from some time, just watch, put them on and watch it, to give it a go. It's well worth it.
I know what I'm doing tomorrow then.
There you go. But that brings me to number two, which was a CD, Zane Lamprey Sings the Booze Live. I bought this on Apple iTunes years and years ago, and it was music and stand-up from his original DME tour, because they did a long – I don't know if it was episode one or season one or season two or maybe in between. I think it was in between. They went on a stand-up tour to help promote the show. Now, Mark Ryan, who was a stand-up comic – was originally the co-host of the original first season of Drinking Made Easy. Mm-hmm. And apparently in between season one and two, he just did not like doing the job.
Yeah.
And not that there was anything wrong with Mark Ryan. I didn't have a problem with him. He was on the St. Louis episode, which we'll get to soon. But I think he was on this tour too, and he did some stuff. But he disappeared and it just became Zane and Steve, which is where it should have been. But this Sings the Booze is filled with really fun songs all about drinking.
Yeah.
And then funny stories. Like he's got a song, My Buddy Steve. Everybody has a buddy like Steve. It's great. But the Jamaica, going back to number 10, he tells a really great story about the Jamaican episode. And the way he tells it, it's hilarious on here. He goes, they had this remedy. He had a severe hangover, and they were doing it. And he goes, and the locals had a specific cure for a hangover. And he goes, what's it called? And Steve goes, marijuana. he goes, there was a guy, and he helped him, like, kind of the way they did it.
Yeah.
And he took a drink of the, and he goes, oh, I think I feel it. He goes, no, man, you're not going to feel it for another 25, 35 minutes. And he goes, and if you watch the episode, there's a scene where they're like playing chess or something.
Yeah.
And he goes, and you'll notice that he's not in it. He said, because he was locked in his apartment or his hotel room, scared to leave because the towel on the doorknob looked like a ghost.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and that's the Jamaica or the Sings the Booze is great.
Yeah.
But that makes me like that episode even more I hear that story. Plus, I think this is a good one because even though I know his stand-up tour is going to be different, there's not going to be any music, or I assume that he's not going to do as much music. I think it gives you a good idea why he's funny.
Yeah.
But that brings us to Our Town.
Yep.
Number one episode to me, and only because it's St. Louis. It was in the first season, so it had Mark Ryan in it. And Mark Ryan was the one that went out to Schlafly and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like I said, I reiterated it here. Nothing against Ryan, but it really picked up steam for me when he left. But here's kind of where they went. They went to the Schlafly Tap Room. And at the time they went there and we watched it, that was like one of the two most frequented stops for me. The other being Bottle Works.
Yeah.
I think me and Missy did probably Schlafly, a combination of one or the other, four or five times a month.
Yeah.
Like, we were regular. We had one kid, and you remember that, you know, that kid's got a different dad, so that kid was gone quite a bit. So we did a lot of drinking.
Yeah.
Worked all the festivals and things like that. Repeal Fest was one of my favorite at the Bottle Works, and then, of course, Hop in the City, the big one,
right,
at the Tap Room. I've always worked it. You know, I've told the story on the podcast. I was not feeling great. I got incredibly drunk. I checked into 27 beers one day, and I shit my pants at Shamrocks. I mean, it just did it.
Yeah.
Like, but they also, after they hit there, they hit Bailey's Chocolate Bar, still going. That's okay. In, where is that? That's Lafayette Square.
Okay, yeah.
That's at Lafayette Square. They did the Sub-Zero Vodka Bar. Sadly, that was a casualty of COVID. They closed that. But at one time, that bar had more bottles and variations of vodka than any bar in the world.
Oh, wow.
And he did a little contest on it to see if he could tell the difference between a $5 shot of vodka and a $100 shot of vodka.
Yeah.
And I don't remember how he did. I haven't seen it in so long. They went to the Famous Bar, which is the name of it, Chippewa Street.
Yeah.
That's a Route 66 bar, which is pretty cool. And then they did the eating challenge and stuff at the Blueberry Hill Moonrise Hotel in the Loop. We recently went and ate at Blueberry Hill. Now, we used to love Blueberry Hill. I got to tell you, I don't know if it's just I'm getting older or more curmudgeon. It feels a lot more like a dive bar now, especially on the bar side.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of always felt that way to me, but
maybe I just overlooked it because I love the story, the ambiance.
Right.
I've been in the Duck Room and seen great concerts, but not a good smell.
Yeah, it's not.
Smelled kind of like old wood, which is exactly what it is. You know, but for those that don't know, Blueberry Hill was specifically built. The guy that owns it in the Moonrise Hotel was best friends with Chuck Berry, and he wanted to give him a place to play on the regular.
Yep.
And so he built that for him.
Yep.
And if you've never been in the Duck Room, I cannot give you. I mean, this is slightly smaller than the Duck Room, my basement. It's a small place, but it's a real cool place, historic, and that's why they went there for the show.
And watching Chuck Berry play there was amazing.
Did you?
Yeah, I saw him in 2003. So he didn't play a lot. His son played a lot more than he did.
I mean, that has to be one. When did he die?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I thought it was more recent.
Was it? Well, he stopped playing well before he died.
Right. He would come out and play like a song or two.
I mean, he's a guy that got, you know, more power to him, even in his 80s, was still playing music.
2017.
Oh, goddamn, that dude, how old was he?
Mathematically,
he had to be
91.
God, man.
Yeah.
Just rocking out.
The funny thing was he had a local band named Ludo open for him, and they're more like punk rock, like pop punk.
Yeah, pop punk. And for those that don't remember Ludo, they got a little bit of nationwide fame back in the early 2010s with Love Me Dead.
Yeah.
Was their song. Great song.
Yeah.
The whole album was great.
Yeah.
Dwayne came up, Big D came up to a Point Fest one time. And they were an act, and he fell in love with them. So he started going and seeing them when they were in Springfield and things like that. Just good group.
They started playing again.
They did. I know. They handed out kazoos so you could do the and they and he threw one out. He goes, "Hey, this one's been in my mouth," and he threw it out. Remind his stage presence, and this is a complete compliment, is a lot like the lead singer Goldfinger on stage. They kind of joke in the same way. Except the lead singer Goldfinger likes to tell people to grab his dick and things when he's up there. He'll get one side of the room to cheer, and whichever side's the biggest, he says, "Now this side gets to grab my dick," and he jumps out and stage dives, things like that.
Yeah,
which would be crazy.
Yeah.
But that's kind of my top 10 things about what I love about Zane Lamprey. Well, before we throw it to Missy, I feel remiss, and we need to finish this beer and get into the next beers and start some pop. I feel bad if we did not mention a little bit more about Mel Lamprey, who Mel the producer is how you lure at the very beginning. There used to be a drinking game when you see Mel, take a drink. Mel is like a unicorn in a sense that she's the mythical beast. She's very, very pretty, and she has a twin sister who's also very, very pretty.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, that's every guy's dream.
Yeah.
But what's cool about her is she's not just the hot girl. She's super awesome because as much as Zane is a fan of the environment and animals, she's right there with him. I think it's called the Wren Rescue. She operates a nonprofit animal rescue. They have like 16, 17 cats in her house.
Yeah.
But some were born with like cleft palates, and she finds them homes. And you
that's cool.
You can go to Mel Lamprey. Google Mel Lamprey, and you'll find her rescue. I think there's a GoFundMe that's still active. Or you can go to Instagram and look up Mel Lamprey. And on her profile, there's a link to an Amazon account, and it's a wish list for animal rescue. So you could buy that stuff and send it to her.
Oh, cool.
So it's super cool. She's super awesome. Very fun personality. She's got a lot of, I mean, she's a hip chick, and it shows. And it's, you know, Zane's a hip dude. So, you know, I fancy myself and Missy being a lot like them, except they're way cooler than we are. And I think that's Missy's bringing me down. That's why.
Probably.
Yeah. But so go
she's
check.
Not here to defend herself. So
yeah, so grab another beer real quick. I'm going to, so yeah, just go check them out. And again, I know I went on for about 30 minutes on what's awesome about Zane Lamprey, but he really was an inspiration on why I started the podcast and why I love beer. And we're about to open a beer I know that Jay's never had, right?
No, never had this
okay.
one.
Okay, anything from this brewery before, Boomtown?
No.
Okay, this is a good one. We'll get to our beers in a second, but that's all I had for the first part of the episode. Now, if Zane actually does listen to the episode, we're going to do what's called Throw It to Missy. This segment got its name from the fact that every time my wife is on the episode, who we affectionately call the flop, the first lady of podcasting, she never brings anything to the episode. So we would do what we would call Throw It to Missy to see if she has anything. Never has a damn thing. So that just became the joke of the segment. So this is where we talk about anything and everything. We kind of got a direction we may end up taking this.
Yeah.
You didn't have to research it for today. I didn't have a conversation with you about it, but I know you brought stuff to the table. So
yeah,
I'm going to let you start while I take a drink.
All right. So last Monday when I left here, kind of an adventure in our neighborhood.
Oh, what happened?
So I got home about 10:30, and I was driving by Emo's and Sugar Fire right there over by our house. And there's like six cop cars and an ambulance sitting there. And they didn't have their lights on.
Crossroads Brewery kill someone?
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't know. I thought they had a slow night, and they were just kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
Drive down, and the first street on my left, there's about 30 cop cars. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? I go past it, and on the backside, there's a police car with a light shining on the golf course at one of these houses.
Oh, somebody was breaking in or something.
So I went home, I looked, I didn't see anything on any of the news sites.
Yeah, you got to find, there's a couple websites where you can find police scanners.
Yeah, I even checked the one on Facebook for the area.
And I've
nothing.
Done it, and I've never found anything I've looked. I've, yeah. Well, I'll follow your story up with the story in a second, but.
So 5 o'clock the next morning, I'm going to the gym, go right by there again. Cops still on the golf course. All the cars are still there. SWAT team.
Oh, boy.
There was a standoff. A mentally unstable person was barricaded in a house and was shooting arrows at the police officers.
Wait, arrows?
Arrows.
There was Daryl Dixon in it.
Yes. And so right when I went by, I think it was all breaking up.
It's a ballsy move.
Yeah. They shot tear gas into the house. And
The old saying is never bring a knife to a gunfight, but not far behind is also don't bring arrows to a gunfight.
Yeah. So yeah, they were out there all night just waiting for this guy to do something.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is great. Now, I've got a similar story with a more comical ending. I want to say par for the course, but this made national, or not national. It might have made it national as a joke, but it definitely made the news. Literally around the corner from where we lived when we lived in North County in Overland, right around the corner from the house, there was a police standoff of the same thing.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I saw what alerted us to it is the police were going through our backyard.
Oh, wow.
Like that. I was like, oh, shit. You know? And so. And it lasted for 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
And then it turns out no one was in the house.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I can't remember the exact details if someone called it in. But
yeah.
They thought that there was a suicidal man with a gun
who
was crazy in the house. And they couldn't get him to come to the door or what was going on. But for about 3 hours, then he wasn't in the house. There was no one there. So
how does that happen?
I don't know. Overland Police Department?
Yeah.
I don't know. St. Anne Police Department?
Yeah, I can see that.
And no offense to anybody that works for there. You guys, you're probably awesome people, but that is a bit of a black eye on you.
Oh, yeah.
What else you got?
So I was browsing Reddit today in their beer section.
Uh-oh.
And
now, you are a Reddit guy.
I get on there and mess around.
My buddy Dusty, the Dean of Rap, who did our first theme song when we were still the Random Ass Podcast, he's a big Reddit guy.
Yeah. Like, I go on the Cardinal board, and I have a few I subscribe to that I just look through every once in a while.
I need to get back into it, because we really had some spikes when I would put this episode up on, there's like four plus spots that I would always do.
Yeah.
And there was noticeable bumps, so I should get back on there and do it.
Yeah. Well, someone asked, have you seen Ballast Point beer anywhere?
Are they gone?
I don't know. Like, people on the West Coast see it all the time, because that's where they're based out of.
Yeah, San Diego.
Got me thinking, I haven't seen it here in a while.
An incredibly good tap room. Actually, they have three or four spots, or they have a retail shop and package.
Yeah.
Then they have a tap room, and then they have the brewery, and all great places. I've been there. What was their beer that they did all the variations on?
The Sculpin?
Yeah, the Sculpin. Those Sculpin, and there were some really good Sculpins out there.
Yeah, but when they got bought out by Constellation, the quality went down a little bit.
Yeah.
And then they Chicago area brewery bought them from Constellation. And they've just disappeared since then.
Yeah. Who was it that? Oh, I remember who bought them. It was a brewery that did not even think that they were going to be taken seriously when they bought them.
Right.
And the brewery that bought them was by far smaller than them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. In fact, we talked about that on the podcast. That is a good question. Now, we've mentioned on here that COVID took out Left Hand. Which, or not Left Hand, Tallgrass, which was a very fun brewery out of Kansas, Fort Scott area.
They got too big too quick, though, and they had to pull out of a lot of markets because they couldn't
keep up.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Well, I mean, like we said, man, that Buffalo Sweat was one of the first real heavy milk stouts that I tried.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a heavy milk stout. Left Hand's milk stout was way better stout, but Buffalo Sweat was a great beer.
Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah.
They had some good pale ales, too.
They really did. Like, it was the last podcast we talked about that the one named after the what was the name of it? The Egyptian name or whatever. Arios or
Ethos?
Ethos. Yeah, Ethos. That was a good beer.
Yeah.
That was a very good beer. It's just Ballast Point's a big one because, man, I knew the rep for this area because the Beer Sauce Shop who repped it. That was a good beer company. Yeah.
And, well, I thought they were a little overpriced, but...
Yeah, but they were being shipped all the way from San Diego, right. You know. And I'm telling you, if Stone is my favorite place in San Diego, and there's a lot of great breweries I've hit between San Diego all the way up to Oceanside, but Stone, that tap room in Oceanside for Stone and the actual Stone Brewery in San Diego, fucking awesome places.
I want to go there.
If it wasn't for how cool Founders Brewery is, it would have been my favorite brewery to go to. Not beers, but the experience.
Right.
Founders is an unbelievable brewery up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is crazy. Man, that's I will have to bring that up to Bender because I bet he doesn't know. Take a drink of this beer.
This is good.
I like this beer.
Yeah. The faux pas of both of us drinking at the same time.
Yeah, that's all right. I tell you this, before you get to the next one, let's go ahead and jump back to Stone Cold Steve Austin's beer.
I really like that.
That is, like I said, from El Segundo Brewing Company, which is in Texas. That's why it's so hard to get, because Texas has these weird laws about shipping over state lines.
Yeah.
But you can get it from California to here, which is what I did, and we talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
I want to get your rating on it.
I'd give it a 4 out of 5.
Well, I gave it a 4 out of 5, and I'm going to tell you what happened. I took a drink of it, and also... For those that don't know, if you're just jumping onto the podcast, we rate everything, movies, music, comic books, whatever, on Untappd, our favorite social beer drinking apps, 5-point scale. So we call it the universal Untappd scale of rating, whatever. I tried to give it a 3 to 3.5.
Yeah.
But by now, Stone Cold said it was the best, so I had to up it to 4 because that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And Stone Cold said so. But it is a good beer.
Yeah.
It is a very solid. Missy said that it's kind of, and she didn't say this as an insult. She goes, it's way more bland up front for 6.7 ABV IPA than she would expect it. But she said the back end taste really finishes good.
Right.
And after that's the second one I've had now. I kind of agree with her. It's a different, it's not balanced like a normal IPA is.
Right.
Doesn't have the upfront bitterness that this one has.
It's kind of in between the like East Coast, West Coast, where the East Coast is more the hop smell and less bitterness, and then West Coast being...
I guess it makes sense right there in Texas. I mean, they're not growing a lot of hops in Texas, am I right? I mean, they're probably getting it from both directions to make their beer. But yeah, solid beer. Bring out what you got next, and we'll do the next beer.
Good. So Cara Dune's been canceled for the second time this week.
I didn't see what happened with her now.
Funko Pop has canceled her figure.
Well, that's disappointing. Some of them already hit?
I don't know.
I got to think her collectibles are probably a hot commodity right now.
Yeah, with certain people probably.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, there's people out there that are completists that are like, I want to get it before it's gone.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to replace her character? Of course, for those that don't know, real quick, we should at least tell them we're talking about Gina Carano from Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. And she was kicked off the show for her, not just her political beliefs, but that is certainly part of it.
Yeah.
But also her just her outspokenness. And really, the problem she did was doubling down on the Holocaust thing.
Right.
I mean, you can't do that.
Yeah, and you know Disney and her agents have been sitting there telling her, don't cool off on this stuff for
and
a little
if, yeah,
bit.
Yeah, if you're going to say this stuff, don't compare things. Never, never compare things to the Holocaust
right.
or Hitler.
It's genocide.
Genocide doesn't yeah. go well for anybody. So her toy... Funko Pops, also, again, for those that don't know, but if you listen to our show, there's a chance you do. They're randomly throughout my house, you'll find Funkos. They're one of the most basic, goofy-looking toys, but also one of the most diverse and different versions of characters and properties across the board. A great thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There's a documentary on about them that was really interesting. How
it
they started out
awesome.
As kind of a bobblehead type thing that expanded.
Now, that was on Disney, right? Disney Plus? Or was that on... There's.
I one. Don't remember it. Or was that Toys That Made Us, maybe? No?
No, it's on. I think it is on
is
Disney.
It Disney.
I think it is on there.
Yeah.
They talk about it. By the way, we just went to Barnes & Noble yesterday. Today's Monday, right? Yeah, we went yesterday. As we record this, it's Monday. We went yesterday, and Kaylin... And she went to look at the vinyl, and I'm back at the vinyl. And, you know, when we were younger, certainly Barnes & Noble's movie and vinyl, or it wasn't vinyl really at the time,
yeah.
movie and music section was like a must stop
yeah.
for collectors of anything, whether it was box sets of DVDs or whatever. Well, all the spots where the movies would have been or CDs would have been are now a bunch of Funkos
yeah.
at Barnes & Noble.
They had some clearance books back there at one point,
they,
too.
They still do. So the clearance books, if you can imagine, you go and the walls, everything that surrounds the walls is clearance books for one row and one side, and then it's Funkos, the back wall, and then the side, the bin facing it. I thought... Well, look at all these fun. It reminded me the way they have them there with no sign and stuff. It's like, well, this is a comic book convention.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, real quick, comic book conventions. You see Wizard World 2022? It's coming back?
They were supposed to do it in March of this year.
Yeah, but they're still
it got
not.
Pushed back, I think, to July is the last I saw. They sent me a press release about it.
I just saw recently through email, and then I looked on Facebook. It is set for March of 2022 now.
Okay.
St. Charles Arena.
Oh, really?
Way better for us.
Oh, yeah.
That's a much. That's not even half the distance. That's a tenth of the distance for the drive downtown. Yeah.
So the first year they had it here, my buddy Matt and I went, and we had some friends that were going to meet us afterwards. So we're like, we'll meet you at Urban Chestnut. We're just going to walk there.
Oh, yeah.
It's only like a mile, but it's through some sketchy areas.
Yeah, well, and that would be down Washington Street where it is now. Washington Street is a party street.
Yeah.
But
to a point.
A gap between where Washington Street ends and Urban Chestnut is.
Yeah.
And you guys, and there's like some homeless shelters in that gap and things like that. One time I was walking down that same area doing near the same thing you were with another buddy or so of mine. And we were going to the Oktoberfest at Urban Chestnut.
Yeah.
Before Urban Chestnut had the second location and stuff. And there was a group of black gentlemen, older, and we crossed the street.
Yeah.
Almost like a stereotypical white guy would. But what we did is they were clearly a group of homeless people.
Yeah.
I wasn't intimidated by it being black gentlemen, but it was a group of very stinky, dirty homeless people outside a homeless shelter. Not my scene.
Yeah.
Well, this some bitch called us out. Are you crossing over because of me? And he kind of followed us for a few blocks.
Yeah.
And I said, no. I said, not really, but it appears to have been the right decision.
Yeah.
it was a little sketchy. It's just saying it's sketchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wonder if Wizard World's going to have the after party. Have you been to that?
Never that, no.
So after Urban Chestnut, we went back down there. We got a ride back down there, luckily.
Yeah.
when we went in, and it was guys dressed up as Jedi swinging their lightsabers around. And a really cool guy I ended up talking to, he was real nice. I'm friends with him on Facebook now. He was dressed up as Kato, Asian guy, and he was doing all this breakdancing stuff.
Well, now that's cool.
That was cool.
Yeah. Seeing Kato from Kung Fu, or from Green Hornet, breakdance, yeah. That's a fun story.
Yeah.
Seeing a bunch of nerdy, middle-aged white guys swinging their lightsabers around, not even a pun, just dumb.
I think I still have video of it on our YouTube channel.
That's awesome. Did you ever see during the snowpocalypse we had this year, the video of the two guys out in the field? Jet lightsaber fighting.
No,
it went viral pretty good. We'll have to look it up. It's fun. Let's rate this beer real quick before we go to the next thing. This is Breathe from Boomtown Brewery. I don't know much about them. Their tap room. Oh, here you go. Tap room and event space at 700 Jackson Street, LACA 90012. So they are out of California. At Properly Creative. It's canned by some obviously Asian influenced something.
Yeah.
Pretty good beer though. This one is 8.2% ABV. I don't know where it comes in on the IBUs, but it is pretty hoppy.
Yeah.
I like the can. That's kind of why I ordered it, because it's scary looking, almost Daredevil like / Chinese demon.
Yeah.
Kind of looks cool. It's cool, but it's a good beer.
Yeah. I give it 4.25, I think.
All right. Well, I put 3.5 out of here, but I'm going to go straight up to 4. Actually, I'm going to leave it at 3.75 because I don't want to give Stone Cold any competition through this because it'd make me mad. But it's a good, really cloudy, really good beer.
Yeah.
So anyway, what else you got?
Drew Brees retiring.
Out of nowhere.
He
posted some real hard workouts a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but 42 coming off the injury he had this season.
And his arms seem to have fallen off in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I posted it. Yeah. Has any one football player done more for a city than Drew Brees did for New Orleans?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he was there for, what, 15 years?
Yeah, and by the way, was all but written off, was basically paid to leave San Diego because of his neck problem.
Right.
What a reclamation project. He's now second all-time in completions and second all-time in passing yardage.
Yeah.
And for a cup of coffee, it was first all-time in touchdowns.
Yeah.
My nephew brought up J.J. Watt did a lot.
Yeah.
And I certainly know there's a lot, and J.J. Watt did do a lot, especially through the flooding and stuff. But a lot of players do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not talking necessarily financially. I think only LeBron has only spiritually lifted a city in Believeland, that pales in comparison to what he did for New Orleans.
Right.
Post-Katrina, you know, at one point they were using the dome as a safe haven for people to sleep.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't even, not even a full calendar year away, they played the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl, you know? It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Also, not a tall guy.
No. And he seems pretty down to earth. I mean,
super down to earth.
Only really gotten in trouble once for
something he said, but then he didn't even really backtrack off of it. He just, for the players that got upset, he reached out to them individually the way you're supposed to. And he said, you know, I get that my comments were taken could be construed as bad, and I'll just watch myself. And I certainly, he's like, I've made a lot of friends of, and it was, what'd he say? It was something about black people, right?
Yeah, I think it was during all the Black Lives Matter stuff.
Yeah, it was something there.
Yeah.
And he said, I've certainly made...
Defended the cops, I think, maybe?
Something. Yeah, something. And, you know, hey, here's a bad thing. Or not a bad thing. Here's the thing, people. We need cops.
Yeah.
We do. We don't need a Portland situation and stuff. But there's a lot of great... I mean, we also need people to understand why Black Lives Matter or why there is a movement. We certainly need that.
Yeah.
I got one for you before we drink the next beer.
Okay.
I watched Boss Level.
Okay.
On Hulu. Have you seen the trailer for this?
I think so.
Groundhog's Day with Frank Grillo and Action Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Out of 5, I'm going to give it like almost a 4.
Yeah.
It's fun. It is exactly what I mean. That's the hook. That's the elevator pitch. It's Groundhog's Day meets John Wick.
Yeah,
and that's the movie.
Okay,
and it's over the top action.
I'm sold.
Yeah, he learns. They're just one of the women this woman that's at a, and he mentions it in passing the beginning, the Japanese lady's like the world's foremost female leading expert on sword fighting.
Yeah.
He ends up recruiting her to teach him how to sword fight because of villains. It's almost like a video game villain.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
It's got, what's fun about it is like there's fight scenes based on kind of what Bill Murray did in Groundhog Day, where he's like, and the bag of money falls now. And
yeah,
you know, except it's fight scenes. He's like forward slash. He's like cup of coffee. It does it. All this. Yeah. It's fun. It's worth it.
That's yeah. Cool. I'll have to check that out. How is it compared to something like Edge of Tomorrow?
It's tongue firmly planted in cheek in this.
Yeah.
Like the action, there's some moments in the action where it's almost like wire work and
yeah.
You're like, it doesn't explain it. It doesn't try to explain it.
Well, yeah.
And Frank Grillo is just very good. And I love Frank Grillo.
Yeah.
I think he's super underrated. I love that show Kingdom. I love him in the Purge movies.
Mm-hmm.
For what he was in as Crossbones.
Yeah.
He was awesome. And before that, and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
He was great in that.
Rumlow.
Yeah. Just a cool guy. And by the way, Edge of Tomorrow is Edge of Tomorrow is a 5 out of 5. That is
yeah.
Underrated. Well, when it came out in the theater with the bad name, Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Then it's kind of retitled unofficially Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most successful Blu-rays of all time.
Yeah.
Just a great movie.
Yeah. So the other one that's like that came out in the last year was Palm Springs with
Palm Springs is a 5 out of 5.
Yeah. I love that movie.
Palm Springs is not just 5 out of 5. It's brilliantly acted.
Yeah. And there was a lot of stuff I did not expect in that movie. Like, right off the bat, you see it reset, and you find out he's been there for
a long time.
Yeah.
Well, and what's awesome is when they finally kind of fall in love.
Yeah.
You get the impression that he just finally is giving it a chance.
Yeah.
And then he has to, spoiler warning, break it to her. Well, you know, we've kind of been through this too. We've had sex before.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really gets her, makes her mad.
Yeah.
Before he drags her into it, which
yeah.
is, yeah, good movie. Well, who's the guy that's hunting him in
oh,
it?
Oh, it's
it's a good actor.
J. Jonah Jameson. I can't.
Oh
think.
Yeah. Simmons.
Yeah. J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons, and he's great in it.
Yeah.
And also a little sad that he chooses not to leave the perfect day with his
right.
family when he gives up hunting. Andy Samberg, that's who it is, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember. Yeah, Andy Samberg. When he gives up hunting him, he kind of comes to terms with the fact that I'm just going to live the greatest day over again
yeah.
every day. Also, Samberg shows some stretching in his range.
He did.
Not just straight, silly, slapsticky in it.
Right.
Good movie. Both.
Yeah.
So if you ever want, I've got a buddy named Jason Hurley. He wrote, what was the name of his comic book for Image? I want to say, I'll have to look it up. I apologize, Jason, if you hear this. Or Beauty, I think, for Image, something
okay.
like that. I'll look it up. But he wrote that, and he lives in Joplin and owns a comic book store in Joplin.
Yeah.
And he and I both worked at V-Stock together in the way back when it was just Book Barn and stuff.
Yeah.
He has these things called Hurley's Giving Apocalypse or Hurt Movie. It
yeah.
gets like a theme for apocalyptic movies.
Yeah.
I think if you were to ever kind of copy that on your own and do like a time travel movie or time paradox movies,
yeah.
those are three good ones to do.
Yeah.
You could even watch Russian Doll. That's
yeah.
another good one. Yeah. But I think you'll dig Boss Level.
Okay. Yeah, I'll check that out.
So it's fun. Yeah, it's pretty fun. What else you got?
So we watched The Little Things before it went off HBO Max. That was Denzel Washington, Rami Malek, and Jared Leto.
Oh, I loved it.
That was really good.
I loved it so much I had to take a deep dive into it. There's some good podcasts out there that break it down that say
yeah.
he's the killer. Spoiler alert,
yeah.
too, if you've not seen this. Say Jared Leto, who's fucking incredible in it. Jared Leto is a great actor.
If they would have done his Joker that way, it would have been amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I don't hate his Joker.
I don't either.
It's the Brian Azzarello Joker, and that's what
right.
people didn't like about it.
Right.
And Pedro Rizzo, who wrote,
yeah.
Who drew it.
And that's the thing about Jokers. I mean, you got so many different versions of the character because
yeah.
of so many different writers.
Yeah, yeah, but that's a good movie, man.
Yeah.
That is a good movie.
Yeah.
And
it left us sitting there, like, wondering what was going on almost the whole time, because it's like, what's Denzel's background? Why is he so interested in this? And then the twist at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... me and Missy were watching, and when he went over to the, and we won't give spoiler because this is still fairly new.
Yeah.
But when he went over to the trash to throw it away, I was like, oh, it stabs you right in the gut. Yeah.
We called that part.
Yeah, that's what I told her too. When he was leaving, I was like, yeah, I don't believe it. But then when he does it though, Remy Malek, where do you stand on Remy Malek?
Truthfully, that's, I think, the first thing I saw him in, because we never saw Bohemian Rhapsody.
He's good in it.
We borrowed it from my aunt and never watched it and gave it back because we had it for like 2 months.
Here, and he's in Need for Speed. You remember that Aaron Paul video game adaptation of So, Remy Malek, Oscar winner, you know, acclaimed actor, Mr. Ghost. Wasn't that the name of Mr. Robot?
Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot. Season one, especially, unbelievable.
Yeah.
If you watch Bohemian Rhapsody and then you watch Little Things or watch Mr. Robot, it's almost like it's different versions of Freddie Mercury in everything you watch. Not to say that he's bad in Little Things. In fact, the more it went on, I finally settled in. But for the first 30, 40 minutes, I was like, oh, he's still Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
The way he talks, the way he moves, his deliveries.
He was very stiff.
His deliveries, I think the only movie I've seen where I could say he's 100% different than the other ones is Need for Speed, which is an awful movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, he is incredible in Bohemian Rhapsody, which is, people ask me if I liked it. I like Bohemian Rhapsody the same reason I like Queen's Greatest Hits.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting into. You know you're going to enjoy every song and every moment in it. And it really culminates in an incredibly redone version of the Farm Aid.
Yeah.
That wasn't Farm Aid. That was,
Live Aid?
Live Aid.
Yeah.
Live Aid. Yeah. So, but still a good movie.
Yeah.
But that Little Things was solid.
It was very good. I'd probably give it 4 out of 5.
Yeah, yeah. We love a good crime movie show.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried setting back down this week because work's been so busy, and I did some more layouts, and I'm going to be on Aaron Conaway's Drinks Around the Table next week on Monday, and I'm going to try to work on some layouts during that show.
Yeah.
But it, as I've been writing this comic, I've been watching the shit out of Amazon Prime, every crime thriller.
Yeah.
And anytime I'm flipping through and it says, because you watch this, oh, fuck, a new one.
Yeah.
And I watch a new one. I could literally sit here and do a show about the 20 greatest crime thrillers from 2005 or 2015 to now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, because I've watched them all in the last month.
Yeah.
So it's research, man.
Oh, yeah.
Give this one. Have you ever had this?
Yes, I have had this one.
See, so we're drinking now. We're drinking Mini Unicorn from Pipeworks. So Pipeworks, for those that haven't had it or don't have access to Pipeworks, they do a whole lot of unicorn series.
Yeah.
Like Ninja versus Unicorn.
Blood of the Unicorn.
Blood of the Unicorn. Variations of Ninja versus Unicorn.
Yeah.
Well, this one's called Mini Unicorn, and the can looks like a sticker book. Like, if that makes sense, a bunch of little unicorns. And it is an IPA with Citra, Simcoe, Mosaic, and Amarillo hops. I have yet to have this, so this first drink will be the first time I've ever had it. And this one is, what is it? This has got to be packing a punch, right? No, only 5%.
Yeah.
No, I was, because I thought it was kind of a variation. I was scared of it.
Yeah, no, I think it's like their session version. Yeah, I had it. Beer Sauce Shop had it a few times. But usually if I see anything from Pipeworks, I grab it.
Yeah, Pipeworks is awesome. And I got to tell you what, that drink, that does not drink like a 5%. That drink's like an 8%.
Yeah.
Like in full body.
Yeah.
If that's a session, fuck, I'd hate to have the real thing. It'd be so bitter, it'd make your ass cheeks pucker.
Yeah.
That's a good beer,
it's
man.
It's a very good beer.
They do great. So I texted you last Thursday night.
Yeah.
I had a buddy. I walked up and my buddy, he goes, I got a beer for you. And he hands me this beer. And I go, awesome. He goes, it's warm.
Yeah.
I go, oh, well, he goes, I want you to take it home because I know you said you hadn't had it. And I'm like, great. And he goes, but I do have a cold one. And he handed me Ninja versus Unicorn.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what a great night this is.
Yeah.
Just two awesome beers.
Yeah. Free good beer. Can't beat that.
You can't beat that at all.
No.
I have not drank this one, so I'm going to. In fact, I was originally going to, and we can still have one if you want. If you want to try one of the cream ales before you leave, which Cali Cream from Mother Earth, that was originally going to be mine.
Yeah.
But Missy's on keto right now, so she's very limited on beer.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I forgot I had this, so let's drink this.
Yeah.
So we kind of did a last minute substitution. But do you have anything else?
One last thing.
Bring it.
No Duke, no Kentucky in the NCAA
1976.
Tournament.
1976.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
I can't say I'm disappointed by that, though.
So I like Duke. I've liked Duke my whole life. In fact, I love Duke. My friend of the show, been on the show, Jeremy Carter, diehard Duke fan. So much so, so he and I both were massive Duke fans for a while. I just, wife, family, things like that, kind of really took, I mean, the sport that got sacrificed the most was college basketball.
Yeah.
And Duke, and when I do watch college basketball now because of the circle of friends I have, Tom, you know, the Silver Badger, the other host of this show, kind of those things.
Yeah.
Makes me watch Mizzou more now.
Yeah.
So I don't get into Duke. And what was his name? Plumlee? Not Plumlee. The kid that tripped people left and right a couple of years ago. I can't think of his name now. There was a long time where Christian Laettner was the stereotype Duke player.
Yeah.
The affluent, rich, white kid. But by the way, and one of the best 30 for 30s is I Hate Christian Laettner. Also, just a stone cold fucking killer in college.
Yeah.
I mean, that the game where he should have been ejected because he stepped on the player, he went 10 for 10 from the floor, 10 for 10 from the line, and that included the game-winning shot.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I just kind of fell out of love with Duke. Not out of love, but just I didn't – I still love him.
Yeah.
I just don't give – I mean, I love the fact that Krzyzewski has a lifetime contract. He's got to be getting close to retirement. Boy, he's – look him up. He's way older than people think.
Yeah, he is.
And for fuck's sakes, he he played – or what was it? Played for Bobby Knight or coached Bobby Knight. So, something silly.
Yeah.
Like I mean, he's got to be nearing the end. Here's my whole thing with the tournament, and I'll ask you, are you going to do a pool this year?
I'm already in one, and my kids want to do one, so I think I'm going to set up one with, like, friends.
I would do it, because I haven't done one.
He's 74.
That's old, man.
Yeah.
That's old. I have no clue what's happening in the tournament. I have none. Zero. It'll be interesting.
I have a game up on one of my TVs at all times when I'm working.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's you, man. You got a TV set up that's conducive to that environment.
Yeah.
One of your TVs. He's got a wall of TVs. Real quick, I'll bring this up to you. Mm-hmm. My buddy John Shannon texted me and said, are we going to bring back baseball this year? And I said, you know what? I will. So I'm thinking of bringing back baseball.
Okay.
I'm thinking about getting away from that, the head-to-head. Well, I still want to do head-to-head, but that point system, getting away from that. And maybe charging $10 from 10 of us, winner take all, something like that.
I'm down for that.
All right. We'll do that. So, yeah, I think that's about all I've got.
Yeah, me too.
I got one for you. It's funny because I handle the checking account of my family, and my wife was looking because she recently saw that she got a fraud alert on her Social Security number.
Yeah,
and so she was like, she's been monitored, so that made it. She's like, I just been signing in the checking account looking, and she come downstairs, and because we have kids that have iPhones, every once in a while, Hayden will accidentally play a game that's free for X amount of days, and then it rolls over.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, $10 or something like that. No, I mean, no big deal.
Yeah.
You always get your money back. Apple's always great about it. But she goes, hey, what's this? She goes, Apple. And she goes, $10. I go, oh, that's the Marvel app. You know, she's naming it all off. I go, oh, that's this. And she goes, Ticketmaster, $170. I go, that's something I haven't told you about. But I'm going to tell you about it.
Yeah.
It's scheduled in June, and they may move it, but I want to make sure I got my tickets.
Yeah.
You want to go see AEW with me when it comes through in June?
I'd be down for that.
I got two tickets.
Okay.
And they're good tickets. Turns out it's a reasonably priced show. $75 tickets gets you good seats.
Oh, wow.
I'll show them to you.
Okay.
The Silver Badger already has tickets.
Yeah.
And he texted me, and it made me laugh because he goes, I'm betting the show gets pushed back in June. And I go, oh, yeah, you're probably right. And I go, I mean, damn, there's a show in June in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Bought them.
Nice.
If it's going to get moved, I want to know about it. Yeah. So anyway, I want to throw that out to you. And that is absolutely everything I got. So there is no Bender and there's no Badger, but hopefully, if you, by the time you guys listen to this, I'm probably buying 4 tickets to the Zane show coming up. I'm excited about it. I also forgot to mention he has, I don't know if he still has it. I know he had his own rum. I never got it because it never came to St. Louis, but he has a coconut rum that I really want to try.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully when I email this to Zane, say, hey, we did an episode about you. Give me some rum. Yeah. See if that works out. But I want you, Jay, to imagine that you're a famous host of a travel drinking show. Give us what your catchy sign off would be.
Oh, gosh.
I just expected you to go. Bye.
Bye.
And we're going to play with you.